Well, during our series on the book of Hosea, I've mentioned a number of times that Hosea's name is literally on the wall above my head here in the pulpit in Drumrea Presbyterian Church. And the quotation that we have arrived at here in chapter 10, verse 12, is the literal quotation that is on the wall where it says, "It is time to seek the Lord." Let me remind you as we come to that text today, just to come back to the main theme of this book of Hosea. We've been away for a few weeks with holidays and with communion season. But the marriage of Hosea to his wife Gomer is at the very center of this book. Gomer has proved to be a wayward wife, not in the sense that she has had an affair or two, but actually Gomer has turned into a prostitute. And you can imagine the sense of estrangement between husband and wife here as this man of God, faithfully and truthfully preaching the word of God week after week, writing down the word of God in this great prophecy of Hosea, whilst Gomer, the minister's wife, is hanging out in the local brothel earning money. Whoever said the Bible was a book that was boring? Yet God is speaking through this marriage, and God is using this marriage, this breakdown. Scandalous is the word for it. Shocking is the word for it. But far more scandalous is the way in which the nation is behaving spiritually. Here were a people made by God. Here were a people made for God, to know God, to love God. And yet here were a people spiritually unfaithful, worshipping anything and everything other than God. And consequently, there has been a serious breakdown in relationship between the Lord and his people. And yet, into this painful and dangerous situation comes a very simple word of hope. And it's this word we're going to dwell upon today in verse 12. It is time to seek the Lord. In other words, God is saying to this people, things are bad, but things are not yet doomed. It is time to seek the Lord. Things are pretty hopeless, but they're not completely without hope. It is time to seek the Lord. And I want today to show you how Hosea, as he comes to chapter 10 in his great book, continues to build a case as to why people should seek the Lord. And then he opens this window of opportunity, and we'll come to that at the end of our message today. First of all, let's notice the way in which this nation has been engaging in just simply what's simply labeled faithlessness, verse 10. God says to verse 1, Israel of chapter 10, verse 1, Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Very often in the Bible, like in Psalm 80, the planting of a vine is a picture of God's tender care for his people. He brings them out of the land of Egypt, and then he plants them into the promised land, hoping to enjoy the harvest of the grapes that would come from their lives, lives that would be lived to the glory of God. That was the theory anyway. But here, as the grapes increased, we are told, as the land prospered, this people began to build more altars, except they weren't altars to the Lord. And as this land prospered, they began to paint sacred stones. A bit like in Northern Ireland, we paint curbstones. They're painting sacred stones and worshipping these stones, which was no part of the worship of the true and of the living God. So instead of prosperity, and the land was prospering, instead of prosperity taking them towards the Lord, prosperity is taking them away from the Lord. And actually, as time went on, they're building for themselves calf idols, wooden idols, sacred stones they show clearly they want nothing to do with God. Verse 2 summarizes it. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. Here's my question. You might say to me today, Richard, what has this got to do with us in the 21st century? Here's my question. We are living today in a prosperous age, in many ways more prosperous than any age before us. We are prosperous in just so many ways, but is that prosperity taking us closer to God, or is that prosperity taking us further away from God? I think the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? As prosperity increases, people move away from God. They become obsessed with their stuff. And it's you and it's me, because it's the society in which we are living. We can be caught up in the spirit of the age. He also builds the case a little bit further there in verse 3 of Hosea chapter 10. Then they will say, we have no king because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? When they didn't have a king, they wanted a king. When they did have a king, they said, we wish we didn't have a king. You can't please sinful hearts, in other words. The essence of sin against God is this sense of dissatisfaction. And again, this is the society in which you and I are living. Because the irony is that for just so many people nowadays, we have everything and more besides. But here again is my question. Are we any happier? Are we any more content? Are we any more at peace with ourselves for all the prosperity that we have upon our lives? Are we thankful? I don't think so. We live in such a discontent age. Discontent and complaining and unhappiness are everywhere. It's the culture of our society. Another way in which sin showed up in these faithless hearts is there in verse 4. He says, they make many promises, they take false oaths, they make agreements, therefore lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. The problem, you see, is this. If you reject God's word, what God has said in his word, then whose word matters? If you reject what the true and the living God has said, then it doesn't really matter what anybody says. And so here the people become embroiled in disputes. He said, she said, he said, she said, yink, yink, yak, 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 yak. And sometimes it even went to court. Words were for fighting over, not for trusting in. And these disagreements, says the prophet, and he uses a very vivid image, are like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. Think of a farmer plowing a field. And it's lovely and he's ready for planting it. But then these weeds, these poisonous weeds begin to appear. And he thinks, all that effort, and it's a waste. Think of the tangled family disputes that there are throughout the country. Like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. Think of the tangled work disputes that there are in the country, like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. Think of some of the church situations that are going in the country. You've heard about them, and I've heard about them. Like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. You see, sin is running rampant. And it's you and it's me. And one other example, as Hosea builds his case for why it is time to seek the Lord, he's showing the people their sin here. This is what he is doing. Verse 9, he says, since the days of Gibeah, you have sinned, O Israel, and there you have remained. There you have stuck. And he says, did not war overtake the evildoers in Gibeah? What happened at Gibeah? Well, you go back to the book of Judges, and towards the end of the book of Judges, chapter 19, there's a very unsavory story. And it's the story of a gang of homosexual men who gang rape a woman and leave her for dead. And the next morning when her husband finds her, he divides her body up into 12 sections and he sends a part of her body, one part to each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the whole nation is shocked. Shocked at the sexual sin, shocked at what this husband has done. They're shocked and they come and they wage war upon the place of Gibeah and they slaughter the people in that area as a judgment upon them. Have we not been shocked lately by some of the court cases, the sexual crimes that have been through the courts? Are we not shocked when we hear experts differ, but some of them estimate that on the internet, think of the vastness of the internet, maybe up to 30% of it is pornography. And in 50% of marriages that break down today, they reckon that half of them are because of an addiction to pornography. Sexually shocking events were not just in Hosea's day. They're here in our day and age as well. You don't need me to tell you that. You can read that in the newspapers, listen to it on the news, and follow it in the courtrooms. This is why the prophet says, it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to get right with God. It's time to face up to the horror of sin, and that sin, if it is not confessed, that if it is not repented of, sin is going to land you in the judgment of God. And that's why he moves on to talk about judgment day as his second theme, having shown them their sin. I don't know if you've seen in the TV this week the pictures of Hawaii where a volcano has been erupting. And those rivers of lava in one particular part of Hawaii, it's not the whole island, so if you've booked your holiday to Hawaii this year, you should be okay. But it's one particular area, and they've shown these rivers of molten rock moving along slowly, and they just devour everything in their path. They've been devouring houses and trees and roads, swallowed up by liquid rock. And the prophet here is warning that this nation, if it does not repent, if it does not seek the Lord, the judgment of God is going to fall. He says in verse 2, he says, the Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. The judgment of God, by the way, in Isaiah is called God's strange work. It's like the last thing God does is send judgment. It's a strange work. Verse 7 talks about Samaria and its king will float away like a twig on the surface of the waters. It's like God's going to play poo sticks with the nations that set themselves against him. He's going to lean over the bridge and just drop them. And they're going to float away on the river of history. Verse 14, it says, the roar of battle will rise against your people so that all your fortresses will be devastated. Mothers will be dashed to the ground with their children. And verse 15, when that day dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. Were those idle threats? Were those empty words? Well, not very long after Hosea's preaching in 722 B.C., the Assyrians, the superpower of the day, came down like a wolf on the fold and devoured the nation, taking away 10 of the 12 tribes, and they were never heard of again. And what did the people say? Verse 8, when the Assyrians descended, the people shouted out, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. It's like they covered their heads and said, fall on us, save us from the judgment of God. So I know what you're saying. How do these things apply to us? What relevance does this have to you and to me? Well, Jesus Christ quoted Hosea chapter 10. Did you know that? Jesus Christ quoted it as he was being taken out to be crucified. As he's going out of the city of Jerusalem with his cross, some of the women, the bystanders, were offering him sympathy. And Jesus said to the women in Jerusalem, he said, "Don't cry for me, cry for yourselves." Because he said, "The days are coming when you will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" The price of rejecting him as Savior was the judgment of God upon the city of Jerusalem, wiped off the map by the Romans in AD 70. You see, if you reject God's Son, you face the judgment of God. And then Hosea 10 is also quoted in Revelation chapter 6, where it's talking about the last day of judgment. You see, 722 was a kind of partial judgment. AD 70 was a kind of partial judgment. The flood of Noah was a partial judgment. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah were partial judgments. But they're all pointing forward to one great final judgment. And on that day, what are the people going to say when the judgment of God falls? They're going to say to the mountains and to the hills, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the Lamb and from the wrath of the Lamb." It may not be trendy to say it. It may not be fashionable to preach it. But there is a judgment of God to come. There is. Someone has said if God, about America, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. If God doesn't judge the United Kingdom, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. A volcanic eruption of the wrath of God is coming. And all will be swept before him. That's why the Bible says, flee from the wrath to come. You don't want to be caught up in that judgment. You want to avoid it at all costs. And hence Hosea says, it is time to seek the Lord. So let me end by thinking about these words as we turn full circle to our text. Hosea has shown us sin. Hosea has sized up God's opinion of sin, that it's ripe for his judgment. But then he signals this window of opportunity. It is time to seek the Lord. Now, not time in the sense of it's 5-1 time. But this is time in the sense of a season. A season opens and a season closes. The thing about a season is that it lasts for a period of time. And Hosea was saying to the people in his day, you have a period of time. It may have been just a matter of months and of years, but nevertheless, they had a period of time to seek the Lord. And for you and for me, we likewise are in a season. We call it the year of grace, the year of our Lord. Between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, when the final judgment will be unveiled. I said earlier that the judgment of God is what the Bible calls his strange work, but there is a salvation work that God has done for you and for me on the cross. Because the judge has come up front, the judge has come early. And this is the good news of the gospel, that the judge has come with an offer of mercy before the trial begins. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And so to escape the judgment of God, we have to believe on him. Accept him. Put our faith into him, and into him alone. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. You see, you can't find God yourself. It may say it is time to seek the Lord, but you cannot find God yourself. It is Christ who brings you to God. You must look to Christ to be saved. You must find in Christ the way, the truth, and the life. Outside of Him, there is no salvation. Outside of His cross and what He did on the cross, there is no salvation. I am the door, said Jesus. Whoever enters through Me will be saved. And isn't it lovely there in verse 12 where it says, break up your unplowed ground. Maybe your ground today is unplowed. You look at your life and you think, it's full of weeds. Not much fruit coming out of my life for God. You need to break it up with repentance. You need to turn to God and say, God, I repent of my sin. And for those who do repent of their sin, He will come and shower righteousness upon you. He'll shower righteousness upon you. I've had some heavy showers the last few days. And when those heavy showers come, we run and we get out of them and we put up our umbrellas and we avoid them. But I'll tell you this, when they fall on the ground, it makes things grow. And the grass has been really growing lately as these showers of righteousness have been making the flowers and the plants and the grass and so on spring up into life. You see, it's just not being forgiven your sins. It is getting this new life in Jesus Christ. This walk with God. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to walk with the Lord. It is time to find the Lord. It is time to know God. A bit like Hosea in his marriage, you'd think, you know, with a wife like that, he wouldn't want anything to do with her again. But remember, as we have seen in our story so far of this man's life, even when she was up for sale in the slave market, he went and bought her back. He wanted her home. He wanted fellowship with her. If ever a man wanted the company of his wife, it was Hosea. And as God says today to you and as God says to me, it is time to seek the Lord. What God is saying is this, I want your company. I want you to come into my nearer presence. I want a fellowship with you. This is God's salvation, the walking with God. And He showers righteousness upon you. You were the righteousness of Jesus, and you get to go in to the presence of God Himself and there to fellowship with Him. As I close, it is time to seek the Lord. Will you go before Him and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but Lord, I want to be found. Lord, sin's all over my life. I've broken your law in just so many ways. I'm embarrassed, Lord, to even recount such ways I have broken your laws. I deserve judgment, but save me, Jesus, save me. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be saved. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near, for the Lord will freely pardon, freely pardon. If you want to talk to me, you can come round to the minister's room after the service. You could arrange to meet me at the door on your way out. I'll come out and see you at your house during the week or today, whatever. It is time to seek the Lord. It's time to get right with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You, Father, for how precious is this word of truth, how prophetic is this word of truth, how it analyzes our society and, Lord, very uncomfortably, how it analyzes our hearts. For Father, this is us. We need to be saved, every single one of us. And Father, we have been warned today by Your judgment. And yet, Father, we thank You that we are in this window of opportunity, that Jesus has come. And we thank You that He came in space and in time. And we pray, Father God, that You will point us to the wonder of Jesus Christ, the man, the God-man, who died on a cross for our sins, that we, Father, might inherit eternal life. Father, what a Savior, man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We pray in his name. Amen.